Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Derry Township Board of Supervisors meeting scheduled Tuesday, April 11th, 2023. It is approximately 7 p.m. It's the time and date scheduled for our normal meeting. Now, I indicate for the record the Board of Supervisors met in executive session beginning at approximately 6 p.m. to discuss legal issues, and the Board adjourned from executive session at approximately 6:55 p.m. So, at this time, now that I've called the meeting to order, I'd ask everyone to rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Chrisman, would you please conduct the roll call?
Supervisor Zamuda?
Here.
Supervisor Corrado?
Here.
Supervisor Nutt?
Here.
Supervisor Whitelaw?
Here.
And Supervisor Abruzzo?
Here.
There are five present.
All right, quorum of the board is present for the meeting. In fact, the full board is present. So to begin the meeting, the first item on our agenda is the normal visitor or public comment session. We have two such visitor or public comment sessions each meeting. Now, at this time on the agenda and at the very end of the meeting, the rules for public comment are fairly simple. We ask any speaker wishing to come forward or place comment into the record to identify him or herself by first name, last name, and address. And then we typically limit speakers to about 3 minutes. If speakers go beyond 3 minutes, you know, you get close to the 3 minute mark, I'll gently nudge the speaker and ask that they wrap up their comments. It should be noted that although it's posted within the meeting room, we wish to advise all persons attending the meeting that it is and has been the policy of the township to take it for all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. So that does happen. Not only is it important that when you stand up to speak at the podium, you identify yourself accurately. These meeting minutes are also posted to the township website, and so it's very important for people who are listening to the audio minutes that they can identify who, in fact, is speaking and that only one person speaks at a time. So we all have to work hard to make sure that one person speaks at a time. But for any member of the public speaking, anyone coming to the podium, and we have some people tonight that are going to be coming to the podium, please make sure you just identify yourself. If you're on the agenda, you don't have to give your address, et cetera, et cetera. You should still identify yourself. For those members of the public that wish to speak and put comment into the record, you do need to state your first name, last name, and address. So, fairly simple rules, but it helps keep everything moving orderly. With that, I'll open up the meeting to the first visitor or public comment session, so anybody from the public may come forward, come to the podium, and we will take your comment. All right, seeing as no one is coming forward, we'll close this visitor public comment session. Again, there'll be a second one at the end of the meeting. First item on the agenda is our consent calendar. The board can take any item under consent calendar separately, or they can take all items under one motion. That's at the pleasure of the board. The items under the consent calendar for this evening's meeting: number one, or A, letter A, it's the adoption of the Board of Supervisor meeting minutes for the March 28th, 2023 regular meeting, and the adoption of the Board of Supervisor meeting minutes for the March 29th, 6 p.m. public hearing. And then item B is the approval of accounts payable and payable in the amount of $259,114.41 and payroll in the amount of $323,761.57. So I ask the board, would you like to take these separately or all at one time?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion to adopt the consent calendar items A and B.
All right, motion made by Mr. Zamuda for adoption of the consent calendar items A and B. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion is seconded by Mr. Corrado. Is there any discussion, questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. The first item, the next item, I should say, is old business. And the first item under old business is the discussion and consideration of traffic safety studies conducted and information obtained concerning Church Road. And this is for the chief.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Apparently, we didn't get the mobile mics working properly, so I'll just try to speak loudly. The police department and board supervisors have received complaints and feedback from residents along Church Road reference motorist speeding on Church Road. The police department's traffic safety unit was tasked with taking a look at and collecting data to determine what types of problems exist and what remedies may be available and prudent to any of those existing problems. The Public Works Department also got involved to take a look at Glenton Church Road to see how they were able to assist in some of these issues. I did draft a memo that is before you, kind of summarizing the complaints that we got about speeding. There's also some information in there on how the 25 mile per hour speed limit was codified in 2006. It was actually set in 1976 under the old BOCA code ordinances, and it was set at 25 miles per hour. There were several other roadways within the township that were posted at 25 miles per hour at that time as well. Some of those have remained the same, and some of them have changed since. So we use what we call the StatTrak. It is a radar-based data collection device. I set it out at four different locations along Church Road between the intersection with Hilltop and then the township line with Conawaga Township. And those four different locations to monitor and collect data on the speeds in those different locations. Three things were noted out of those data collection sites. The average speed of vehicles at the highest recorded level of location was 36.44 miles per hour, and the average speed of vehicles at the lowest recorded location was at 20.33 miles per hour. So that's the average speed of the vehicles traveling on that roadway at those four different locations. So between those four different locations, those were the highest and the lowest average speeds past those locations. Obviously, the average speed of the vehicles in the areas where there were a lot of curves were a little bit lower. Navigating through those curves, it gives you a visual cue that you need to slow down. So those average speeds were a little bit lower in those locations. The 85th percentile speed, which is used to determine what the proper speed limit on a roadway should be. You use the 85th percentile speed, some corner sight distances, and safe driving speeds in those roadways to usually determine what a proper speed limit for that roadway is. The 85th percentile speed ranged from a high of 42 miles per hour and a low of 33 miles per hour. So a little bit higher than what the 25 mile per hour speed limit is on that roadway, but nothing too extreme. Second concern involved in this overlook of Church Road was the intersections with Hilltop and Lexington, and then again at Church Road and Fort Worth. There was some concern for the safety at these intersections, and then also, I guess, for a lack of better terms, a desire to see if a multi-way or an all-way stop at those intersections would enhance the safety of Church Road and slow people down on Church Road because they would have to stop at a multi-way stop. Publication 212 in Pennsylvania, which deals with official traffic control devices, sets forth the requirements for the posting of stop signs and multi-way or all-way stop sign locations. We did engineering and traffic safety studies at these two locations. It was noted at both locations there have not been any crashes, non-reportable or reportable, at this intersection within the last 5 years. Publication 212, which we go back 3 years, and only include reportable crashes. But we went a little bit more in depth, looked at non-reportable, and went back 5 years, and we noted no crashes at either intersection in this last 5 years. The intersection sight distances for all approaches would require a minimum of 147 feet, and all approaches within those intersections well exceeded the 147 feet. I think the lowest that they got, let me refer back to the study, I want to say it was around 300 and some feet. I'll just check to verify that. No, actually it was 262 feet, so a little bit under 300 feet at those locations. And then it also notes in publication 212, as I said before, that stop signs are not permitted to be installed to address speeding issues. And they certainly prohibit that. So neither of those intersections met the requirements for a multi-way or an all-way stop. Got together with Public Works Director Tom Clark. We looked at the stretch of Church Road. Was a desire from, I believe, the board, as well as Director Clark, to place some pavement markings on Church Road prior to the first curve south of Hilltop, Hilltop Road. And Public Works has completed that, and that is in place. The 25-mile-per-hour speed limit signs throughout that stretch, or it's well-posted. It's probably actually over-posted a little bit. But there's a lot of speed limit signs along that stretch of Church Road. There are some warning signs for the curves, to include curb ahead warning signs, and as well as a couple of the more tighter curves, there are some chevron signs within the apex of that curve that warn you that you're going through that curve. So there are some warning signs. I believe Director Clark has it on his agenda. There were a couple of southbound signs that must be catching a lot of shade, and there was a little bit of mildew. I think one was a speed limit sign, and one was a maybe a driveway warning sign. They have some mildew on them. He's going to get those cleaned off so that they're a little bit more visible. But at that point, most of the signing is in place, and then the addition of the roadway pavement marking enhanced the notification of that curve to motorists that are traveling south. I'm taking a survey. I actually did video surveys with a green car camera of Church Road going both southbound and northbound. I do have those videos available. I don't know. They're both about 5 minutes long, so I don't know how much you want to view on those videos. But portions of Church Road would be considered a residence district by PennDOT standards and definitions. The way the houses are clustered together in some stretches, and the frontage is right along Church Road. So there are some areas that would be considered a residence district, which would allow it to be posted at 25 miles per hour. There are some stretches, however, that the houses are a little bit more spread out. There are some areas where there are no residences along a certain stretch. So those areas are a little bit different. So even though the 85th percentile speed information and the safe running speed information that I gathered would suggest that 25 miles per hour might be a little bit low, we're not advocating on raising that speed limit. I think it would be I think it would be unadvisable to do that. I think it's been 25 miles per hour for so long. I don't think raising that speed limit is going to give it any relief as far as how people travel on that roadway. Traveling on the roadway is more of a visual thing than it is a speed limit sign or a pavement marking or any type of advisement. People will travel on the roadway the most comfortable they feel that they can travel on that roadway, and that's the reason why we do the 85th percentile speeds. Those people are comfortable at those speeds traveling on the roadway. The 15% are your rule violators that will drive us a little bit faster than that and violate some of those laws. We're not recommending raising that speed limit. We did put down some lines to enforce speed limits on Church Road. We're also trying to utilize the one infrared device that we have that wouldn't need the lines to run the speed enforcement. And I know the officers have been out there a few times already trying to do enforcement details out there. Our goal is to try to do some more enforcement out along Church Road in some different locations, see if we can slow people down, maybe a little bit of education, maybe a little bit of ticketing to see if we can get that voluntary compliance, get people to slow down a little bit. So that's where we stand as far as the memo. I know the board was interested in looking at or discussing maybe some traffic calming measures along that roadway outside of the pavement markings that were already done by Public Works, the enforcement that we're doing in the police department. I did have some examples. I know the speed table was one thing that was talked about. You'll see it up on the screen there. The old term would be a speed hump, but that's a speed table. It has a slight incline and levels off, and it has a slight decline. That one is actually a crosswalk as well. So I know there's a crosswalk on the north end of Lexington Hilltop and Church. So that would be a possibility. They also have the visual speed signs that can be permanent mount. They're solar powered. You mount them on the speed limit sign. There's a solar panel up there, and those are permanently mounted. They stay there all the time. They advise people of their speed along the roadway. Here's an example of a pavement marking where you use a color on the roadway, on the lane, and that's 25, and then a mile per hour is the next one up from that. So as people are getting onto that roadway and traveling on it, they see the visual on the roadway in addition to the maximum speed limit signs. And then the last one is, that's a temporary speed table that is planted on the roadway and can be removed in the fall and winter when they have to do winter maintenance on the roadways. As far as the speed tables go, that's another speed table that's not in the crosswalk. As far as the speed tables go, I think it would probably be advisable getting with HRG, the Transportation Committee, coming up with some type of metric that a roadway would be acceptable to have those type of speed tables installed, whether you use the length of the roadway, the speed limit, any of the data that we collect, crashes, things like that, to determine whether that type of implementation would be proper. I would imagine that everybody probably wants a speed table in front of their house to slow traffic down, but you have to look at the geometric configuration of the roadway, how it's used. Is it a major artery into one of the feeders, the state roadways? into the residential area. There's a lot of different factors that can go into that to try to determine whether that would be an appropriate solution. When I was looking at these traffic calming measures, believe it or not, the visual speed sign and that pavement marking with the red background and the white lettering on top, those were actually almost as effective as the speed tables as far as slowing traffic down. Like I brought out before, driving down a roadway and determining your safe speed is more of a visual thing than having a speed limit sign alongside the roadway. So if they feel more comfortable driving at a certain speed, that's the speed that they're going to travel at. But you can enhance the visual portion of the speed limit by making those additional paper markings and signage. And they're just as effective sometimes as the speed tables, and less cost to them as well. So that is about all I have for that report. If there are any questions, I will try to answer them.
Well, thank you for the report. Thank you for conducting the study. I think all of those traffic calming measures and things we've talked about publicly is probably, I think each one of them has merit, quite frankly, and even a combination of a couple of them might be wise. So is it your recommendation, Chief, that we present these items to the traffic committee and have them make a recommendation? I know, you know, clearly, it sounds like what your review conclusively demonstrates is that we shouldn't be changing the speed limit, and the road doesn't warrant stop signs at those key locations.
Correct. Those are the two main things. Yeah, I think bringing it before the Transportation Committee, you're going to get more people looking at it, bring some different ideas in, and then also have the engineering portion from HRG and take their look at it. Obviously, they have a lot of experience in different locations, traffic calming measures that have seen good success, and they can kind of bring something to the table as well.
All right. So, does anybody have any questions for the chief?
No, I actually have a quick question. Chief, thanks very much. Very comprehensive. Appreciate it. Brought up a lot of the concerns that I've been bringing up in the transportation staff group meetings that we've had. I was a little horrified when you started talking about raising the speed limit up there, and then you said no. I was thinking actually the opposite, maybe reducing it down to 20.
What?
In that area. I hear it go far from
sure. I'm sure that'd be good for ticket revenue.
Well, that's not what I'm looking at.
I understand what you're saying. You can make the speed limit whatever you want, but a majority of your motorists are going to travel that roadway as they feel the safest way is to travel it. Most, 85% of those people will travel that roadway. No matter what speed limit you put on there, they're going to travel that roadway because visually they can see how safe it is for them to travel at a certain speed limit. The other 15% are going to, no matter what speed limit you're going to put on there, they're going to probably go a little bit faster because they're in a hurry. Their driving habits don't conform to speed limits, those type of things. But 85% of those people, if they feel they can safely navigate that roadway at 35 miles per hour, that's the way they're going to travel. You can put 20 miles per hour on there, but it's the configuration of the roadway, the width of the roadway, the shoulders, the curves, and just the visual aspect of when you're traveling down the roadway. That's what determines a person's speed when they're traveling.
Sure, I perfectly understand that. I see that in front of my house every day.
Yeah.
Because it's a straightaway. People feel it's 25 miles per hour, but it's a straightaway. People feel it can just fly. Thanks, Chief. I appreciate that. And thanks for bringing up all those mitigation efforts, the things we've talked about. I hope maybe we can explore that a little further to get some of these in place for those folks up there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chief, Chief, this is a great report. Thank you for conducting all of this. Will you get this information out to the residents that have come in and raised these concerns so that they can kind of see all the data and see all the work that you put into kind of identifying some issues and maybe some solutions?
Yeah, I would be welcome to maybe setting up a meeting if they want to come in, and we can explain some of the things that we've looked at and how we looked at it. I think sometimes it's beneficial, too, for our traffic safety officers, myself, that we may be able to go out, and if somebody really has a question as far as speeding, and we've done this before, where we actually take a device out, we'll set it up, we'll let them see, we'll actually have them say, you know, how fast is that car going, how fast do you think they're going, and usually it's perception, and it's a lot easier to say a car is going really fast if you're standing still and you're right alongside the roadway, and then depending on what the car is, if it's a truck, if it's a large van, compared to a smaller car, all those things have influence on how you view a vehicle's speed. But I would say the majority of the time, they may say that car is doing 50, and it's actually doing 40 or 35. So being able to see that might give them a little bit better perspective as well as far as how vehicles are traveling along that roadway. I'd be willing to open up that for them as well.
Yeah, it's great. There's a lot of detail in this, so I'm sure that the residents there would like to see all the detail that went into putting the report together.
Yeah.
Any other questions for the chief? If not, Chief, then I think we generally all agree that the next step should be to bring this to the Transportation Committee. I would note that there may be, you know, clearly there some of the traffic calming measures can be more substantial than others, and maybe there's a combination of a few that we might start with the Transportation Committee, you know, that can be raised with the Transportation Committee. We could start with a couple of these measures, and ultimately, I view the speed hump as probably the most significant of the measures we could institute, and I would say that would probably be, maybe these other steps could be taken first if you go down that road, but we agree with your recommendation of bringing to the Transportation Committee, and so we'll leave it up to you to take that next step and get it through.
And I'll reach out to a couple of the residents that have been at the meetings, reach out to them and see if we can set up a neighborhood meeting and go over some of these things.
All right. Thank you very much, Tim. All right, the next item, moving along, the next item after old business is new business. The first item under new business is the update on the Courtyard of Honor and Court of Honor projects. We have a number of folks here this evening who are participating in that effort, and so a number of them are going to speak here tonight. This is really the first time that this group has appeared before the board publicly before. We've talked about this project a little more conceptually. We've now gotten to a stage where we have a fairly robust sketch plan that with significant detail. I dare say this is, and you'll hear from a number of the speakers, this is as close to a final sketch plan as we can get before it becomes final, but it doesn't mean we can't make changes. I'd like to first thank the people in this room. Start with Lieutenant Roach, Randy McKillop, John Foley, Frank Jones, Doug Jones, Chris Brown, Chief. There's a number of folks here that have been actively involved in all of the meetings, whether they're representing the Veterans Group for the Veterans Memorial or the First Responders Group for the First Responders Memorial, as well as the Township staff over the last several months. And we've worked hard to get to this point. So I thank all of you for the efforts that you're making on behalf of our broader community. And so at this point, Chris, what I'd like to do is invite you up. And Chris is going to introduce himself, and then we're just going to, I'll kind of introduce each of the next speakers. to finish off the update.
Excellent. Thank you, Mr. Abruzzo. Thanks for having me here this evening. It's been about a decade since I've been in front of this group, or since the first time I was in front of this group, I should say. And it's great to be back in this volunteer capacity. My background, just for those who don't know, I'm a registered landscaper in the state of Pennsylvania. I've been doing downtown land planning for a couple of decades, and I was fortunate to collaborate with Derry Township for quite a bit of time, usually sitting on that side of the table, so it's kind of thrilling to have this opportunity to be back here and be talking about Choctawtown Park and this transformative opportunity that I am really coming in on the tail end of to help sort of create a canvas on which to place these two wonderful memorials. And so I want to walk through some of the details of the plan that's up on screen. Starting with, as you guys know, Choctawtown Park is a really important link between the core downtown and the ICDA parking garage and all the activity that goes on at the community center building, and specifically the Hershey Theater. Just by show of hands in the room, who here has parked by your little hands and walked to a show at the theater? Right? You've done it. We've all done it. And to Chief Warner's point about the perception of a car traveling close to you when you're walking, when you walk on that sidewalk, right next to the curb, right next to that car or that dump truck, it's a fairly jarring sort of experience. And so our first order of business was to reestablish a tree lawn or a green buffer between the pedestrian sidewalk and that curb. It's something that Mr. Hershey set up in this village many, many years ago. If you've driven around any part of the village, you see that tree lawn, there's usually a lot of big elm trees in it. We don't have that downtown. So that was sort of priority number one, is let's get that public sidewalk for all those folks walking to and from the space away from the curb and provide that level of pedestrian protection and separation. In doing that, it naturally sets up sort of a three-phase approach to Choctawtown Park. The first phase being the natural sort of green gathering space. And you'll see one of the major changes is here with the current stage and performance structure set up. Although many things were planned really well in the township, the location of that particular pavilion bifurcates the space a little bit. So part of this plan envisions moving that to the far western edge, creating a new 30-foot diameter sort of classic octagonal pavilion that becomes a performance space, a picnic pavilion space, and generally the focal point of this beautiful green lawn in Choctawtown Park. What that does is allow the sidewalk to shift a little bit to the west, create a really nice section for the sort of second phase of Choctawtown, which is the space for the Veterans Memorial. So about 4,800 square feet of pavers and green space here in the center. There'll be a gateway access here on the west side, as well as a gateway access here that really welcomes you into this memorial space, which is going to feel a little bit different than the traditional park space. So as you walk through those two gateways, you'll be flanked on this sort of north and east side here by 8 individual planters. And I envision those not as grass, but those are a classic downtown Hershey green space, whether they're rose bushes or spring color, but planting areas. Centered in each one of those will be service flags for the 6 branches of the service, as well as a 7th flag pole that can be a more ceremonial flag. So as events are held in the community, we can use that sort of 7th flag pole to raise a ceremonial flag, whether that's a United States flag or a POW MIA flag or whatever the ceremony sort of dictates for that event. Along that area of flags will be a variety of benches, both backless, as Lieutenant Roche had talked about, the opportunity to sit and face a more contemplative way towards your service flag, but also be able to face into the park when activities are happening. So we've provided ample amount of benches, and you'll see there's a bit of a green kidney bean shape here. So that is first and foremost to protect, I think, probably one of the most magnificent trees in the township, which is that 48-inch catalpa that's about to bloom sometime in June this year. So we want to make sure that we protect that tree. It is a very iconic part of Choctawtown Park. As you leave the Veterans Memorial then, you'll sort of traverse between the two spaces, a bit of a bridge, a metaphorical bridge and a physical bridge between the two spaces. It'll be flanked with a bit of a memorial brick edge, which allows the two memorial spaces, the veterans space and the first responder space, to sort of connect in that area. This lower than area here, adjacent to the Hershey Volunteer Fire Company, is about a 5,600 square foot plaza, which will be the courtyard of honor. That's obviously anchored by the memorials that Randy will talk about a little bit more as he gets up here. It's difficult to look here on a flat sort of piece of paper or a flat screen and understand the topography of that space. For those of you that got to walk the site with Frank and Randy and I last week or saw us out there, there's a lot of interesting grade change. I think this plan really endeavors to use that on our benefit memorial spaces are those spaces that you want to be contemplative, you want to be a little bit off the public realm and have that space to be with your own thoughts and memorialize those who you care about in a way that you feel comfortable. And so I think we're going to use the topography here to really create that for the Courtyard of Honor. We're going to use some landscape material in those gateways to create that for the Veterans Memorial. So in totality, we really end up with those three spaces that are distinct, different, yet somehow unified throughout Chaka's Town. 5 minutes and 24 seconds.
You did a great job.
You
did a great job.
Thank you. And I'll stick around and ask you for questions.
Please stick around.
I have the next folks. So.
And Frank Jones, Frank, I think, is the next speaker. Frank's going to speak a little bit more specifically around the Veterans Memorial. And Frank, you might want to comment on the support and the interactivity you've had with the veterans groups and the community around that.
Yes. So thank you, Mr. Chairman, for allowing us to come in.
Could you press the button on your mic? Thank you.
You have a strong enough voice. So again, thank you for letting us speak this evening and present this to the board and to the residents here of Derrick Township. So my name is Frank Jones. I am the Senior Vice President of the Courtyard of Honor. I'm also a Marine Corps Infantry veteran. So it is my honor to be a part of this group and really as part of the design committee. I lead the design committee for the Veterans Memorial and the First Responders Memorial. But, you know, my heart and soul, and excuse me when I turn, because I'd like to talk to the public, too. I know I'm speaking. I hate talking to people that are behind me, to be respectful of the people behind me, too. So I apologize for that. But, for me, my heart and soul lies within the veterans, because I am a veteran. And as many veterans might know, the Court of Honor was established back in the 40s when Milton Hershey put the Court of Honor downtown. And then it moved to the Hershey Pole, and was at the Hershey Pole for several years. And then that memorial was taken down when the construction of the new pole started. So not having a memorial or a place to put those plaques for a few years, as a veteran, was kind of heart-wrenching. So I certainly thank the township and the board for really looking into this and coming up with a solution of where we could put this memorial. And I think this is a great spot for it. So those plaques are going back up. Those three plaques that were up there at the pool are going back up. They will be incorporated in this Veterans Memorial. Along with that, we are also going to put a memorial up for the Milton Hershey Gold Star members. So Gold Star is Milton Hershey alumni that died in the line of duty. So that's what Gold Star means and stands for. So Milton Hershey will be represented there with their memorial, as long with Hershey residents and Hershey High School graduates that have passed in the line of duty. We'll also have a place for them. And when the Court of Honor was, when Milton Hershey first put the names on the plaque, he put every Derry Township resident that served in the military. And meeting with the veterans groups of the Legion and VFW, that probably was our biggest struggle with planning this, of what names should go on these plaques. Should every name of every Derry Township resident be put on these plaques? Or should there be the names of the people that have passed while they were serving? So we've come to an agreement that we will add additional plaques for the residents of Derry Township that have served and passed while they were serving will be added to additional plaques. So the three plaques will be added to this memorial, along with the Milton Hershey plaque, Derry Township Hershey School plaque for any names that need to go on there, and then any other further Derry Township residents that passed while serving. We're also going to represent the American Legion and VFW within this memorial. So we're going to put somehow some type of plaque or a logo, just kind of like your Derry Township logo behind you there, to represent the Legion and VFW within this Veterans Memorial. So a lot of work yet still needs to be done with this, but we've come a long way, and we truly appreciate the township's support, along with many partners within this room this evening. So I thank you for that.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you.
John, did you want to stay up? I want to invite Mr. Foley up representing the Milton Hershey alumni.
Mr. Chairman, members, thank you for the opportunity just to share a little bit. I want to echo a little bit of Frank's sentiments in that the plaques that we talk about are really historical pieces in our community. They were actually purchased by Mr. Hershey before his passing in 1945. So those plaques were created in 1943, and he had no distinction between resident and student of Milton Hershey School. What was most fascinating for me is, as I got the list of the 57 alumnus who have passed, is how they died, when they died. I mean, I have places where they're buried. But ironically, back in those days, if you turned 18 at Milton Hershey School, you got your hat and your coat and you left. Whether you graduated or not, you were sent down to Hershey High then to graduate. If you wanted to stay, you had to petition the Board of Managers to stay. So literally, there were students who were taken out of English and science from high school to go battle in World War II. And I know of two cases of which, by October of 1944 or 45, they had succumbed to their injuries in battle. Just astounding history that we have here. So thank you to the board. Thank you for all of our contributors that are part of this initiative, to the parties here that helped create this. It's kind of fun to reconnect with downtown Chris Brown and do the work again for the downtown. It is certainly it's a great cause, and it is our history, and we're renewing it and bringing it back to life in this memorial. So thank you for your help.
Thank you, John. Can I just add something to add on to what Frank Jones had said about the location? It was very important to our group, and likewise, it was important to this board, all the members up here, that we find a home for the memorial that really reflected the importance of this memorial in our community. And so the idea that Chocolate Town Park is sort of the heart, it's really at the heart of our community, and that's where we should be honoring these men and women who very much are the heart of this community, right? So we're really pleased with how this has played out, and I know from conversations with some of the veterans at some of the prior meetings that I think they're very pleased with the location for that, for the same reason. So that's just a really feel-good moment for everybody, and everybody in the room that's participated, board, our volunteers, deserve credit for that. So with that, I'm going to invite Lieutenant Roach up to talk a little bit about the First Responders Memorial.
Good evening. My name is Tim Roach. For those of you who don't know me, I serve on the board as the Vice President for the Courtyard of Honor, also obviously the Lieutenant with the Police Department. I'm a 9-year veteran of the United States Army, 2 deployments. I'm a member of the American Legion here in Hershey, and also the Veterans of Foreign War here in Hershey as well. To speak a little bit about the First Responders Memorial, that'll be in the lower portion of our depiction, close to the firehouse, and our intent is to represent and honor those in the fire, police, and emergency medical services, particularly Officer Mike Henry, who we lost a couple years ago. Mike and I were hired together back in 1998. We would have been coming up on our 25th anniversary in about 30 days, and it's great. It was so sad to lose Mike, but obviously this is so great that we have a mechanism to honor Mike. And just to keep very simple, the men and women who go out every day and offer sacrifice to serve the community, whether it's our firefighters, particularly volunteer firefighters who get up at 3 in the morning and answer the call, police officers who run to danger while everyone else is running away from danger, our emergency medical personnel who are going in when people, they have no clue what to do. These emergency medicine personnel come in and they literally save the day. They make sacrifices every day. And we feel as though the community is making a sacrifice now to us, whether it's they're volunteering for this, funds that are being committed, the fundraising that we're doing, the interest that everybody in the community has for this project, we're very thankful for that. And we look forward to memorialize Mike. We look forward to honoring those who have served the community as first responders, and we're very pleased for that. Before I close, I had the opportunity as a member of the American Legion of VFW. I sat down with both boards, and they are ecstatic. And they are so pleased. They felt a little bit of a loss over the last couple of years that veterans were truly not memorialized in the community with the absence of the memorial at the Recreation Center. And to sit down with this and show Chris's depiction of this memorial, they were literally ecstatic. They are very, very happy with this. And for that, I thank you on behalf of those veterans. I thank the board, and I thank my colleagues on the courtyard, and I look forward to this project coming to fruition.
Thank you, Lieutenant Rush. And I'll just add that as part of that, for our first responders memorial, we'll also incorporate the memorial to Michael Borox, who died on 9/11. That memorial stone had been at the high school, but the tie-in to the deaths that occurred on 9/11, and specifically Michael Borox's death, to our first responders memorial is so strong. It makes so much sense to have that memorial located with our first responders. That will be part of the first responder 9/11 memorial. So again, really a credit to the group. Locating that memorial next to the fire station has this, again, this synergy that feels right, that makes sense. For the benefit of the general public, there, you see on the diagram how we've tied in the memorials together with the sidewalk. We've also made it far easier for members of the public to access both of those memorials because of the shared parking next door to the fire department. That makes it far easier for folks, young and old, to access the memorials and to pay tribute and to spend time at the memorials. Rather than on that, you can see the parcel on the west side of Cocoa Avenue that the township owns. That was considered among the sites that we considered. That piece of property was considered as a home for the memorial, but we were then cutting off the two memorials by Cocoa Avenue, and that didn't seem to make sense. I wanted to point out that, but biggest part of the reason is just the synergies by having the two memorials on the same side of the street, and the ease at which our public can visit those memorials by parking in the shared parking. So there's a lot of good reasons behind it. We're very pleased with that, and I'll stop rambling. And so our next speaker is Mr. McKillop. And Mr. McKillop represents the Courtyard of Honor Foundation.
Good evening. Randy McKillop, and president and founder of the Courtyard of Honor. To make this go faster, I wrote something out, so I won't be up here backwards. So thank you to all the township supervisors for the invitation to this amazing announcement this evening. This public-private partnership that was just announced is something that will make a difference not only to the citizens of Derry Township, but to the alumni who proudly graduated from Hershey and Mount Hershey School District, and the millions of visitors who will be arriving from across the United States and the world. The Courtyard of Honor will be a destination to respect and honor the fallen. The Court of Honor will contain veterans of all six military branches and Gold Star members, those who have paid the ultimate price, those who have served our country in the past, the present, and the future of both Hershey and Milton Hershey school districts at the Court of Honor. The Courtyard of Honor will contain emergency responders, including police, fire, ambulance, canine, the late Derry Township Police Officer Mike Henry Jr., the innocent victims of 9/11, and a special dedication to Hershey High School 1981 alumni, First Officer of United Airlines Flight 175, Mike Horrocks. Connecting both memorial gardens will be a hero walkway. This walkway is dedicated to additional families and individuals who wish to be honored. The 100th anniversary of the Pennsylvania State Police Training Barracks in Derry Township is next year. A permanent stainless steel flag with 50 starlight honorees and a wall identifying those who have sponsored and donated to this magnificent memorial. Courtyard of Honor is a 501c3 nonprofit that was filed the end of February 2022 with the help of JSDC law offices. February of 2023, Courtyard of Honor received an expedited determination letter from the IRS that has followed up with the proper paperwork for the state tax exemption. The Courtyard of Honor consists of 5 executive board members who vote on and approve ideas, direction, and concepts suggested by committee members, organizations, and volunteers. The Courtyard of Honor welcomes anyone and everyone who wishes to be a part of this amazing opportunity that will be there for generations. There are a few groups and people that I must take a moment to thank right now. First, again, the Derry Township Supervisors and Board. Thank you. Downtown Chris Brown, who had the vision and the patience to take on this design. Next, the people behind the scenes who spent numerous hours volunteering to help make this endeavor successful. Chief Warner, Officer Tim Roach, Officer Jason Rowe, Mike Kinney of the Milton Hershey School District, John Foley and Bobby Gert of the Milton Hershey Alumni Association, Doug Jones, Faulkner Subaru Harrisburg, Frank Jones, manager of Chocolate World, members First Credit Union, and the illustrious Curtis Davinsky and Backyard Production for the hours of interviews, still shots, portraits, and the capturing of these amazing videos. I must also thank 2 special companies and individuals who are in attendance this evening who have supported and sponsored Courtyard of Honor from the very start. Brian and Eric Holt, a great view, please raise your hand. Lawn and Landscaping LLC, who will be working in partnership with Ron Jockum of Watson Supply to have the hero pavers properly engraved and placed within the memorial garden, the Courtyard of Honor. In closing, the Courtyard of Honor has raised to date the following: $170,000 in both received and under contract donations. Expectations between grants and fundraising of over $400,000 in the year 2023. $40,000 in kind contributions. And you will see this. The other is the Courtyard of Honor also received a wrapped Subaru Outback from Faulkner Motors that you will see throughout Derry Township and throughout Hershey daily. I will be driving it and I will be promoting it. So please look for that along the roads anywhere you go. And in closing, I'd like to thank each and every one of you from the bottom of my heart and spirit. I will repeat a quote from John Foley. This will be magnificent. God bless and good night.
Thank you, Mr. McKilla. And I'd like to thank the gentleman, the Holt, Mr. Jukum. Thank you for what you're doing to contribute to this project. You deserve significant recognition for that, and we greatly appreciate it as a community. I don't know, did anybody, before you escaped, Randy, I was going to ask if anyone from the board had questions for you.
Sure.
But you laid out pretty significant detail, I think, some of the information that we were interested in. Does anybody have any follow-up questions for Randy about the foundation? Foundation is a completely separate entity than the township, but Randy has been leading the foundation efforts to raise money for this project. And we have publicly stated this on prior occasions, that we're excited about the donations that Randy, the contributions and donations that Randy has received as president of the foundation to support this project. Township will pay the remainder of the cost, whatever the remainder of those costs are. So, and the township will
and we have that recorded.
I said remainder.
Put that remainder.
But you're doing such a good job at fundraising. I think we're all very comfortable with where we see this going. Township will maintain these memorials as parks.
Yes.
For eternity. So we're all in this together, and we're excited about it. But does anybody, I want to just make sure, anybody on the board that would like to ask Randy any questions as an opportunity?
Anybody?
Okay. Well, Randy, I didn't think you could do it. Didn't think Randy could stay within 5 minutes and answer our questions.
I'm trying.
Thank you.
And I don't have any questions. I'll just say that also we talked about we'll be moving forward also with a memo of understanding for the projects and probably need an easement as well.
And that would be something that would just be helpful for everybody down the road, that we just have that understanding and agreement of for sure what we're doing. The other thing is that I didn't get into, but we have updated the website. So please go to courtyardofhonor.org. We do have events on that page as well as a calendar. And I will be putting a newsletter out there periodically with updates of what we're doing. One thing I will let everybody know is the month of September this year is going to be amazing. We have a lot of great events coming up. And it is going to be promoting everything throughout the month of September, because September 11th of 2026 is the 25th anniversary. And that is when we want to have the ultimate celebration. But we will have the Veterans Memorial portion, or the Court of Honor, will be completed by Memorial Day next year. And then after that, we will then, the following year, finish with the walkway, the hero walkway, as well as the courtyard. So the goal is to have everything completed and finished no later than 9/11/2026.
Well, Randy kind of took...
Uh-oh.
Our goal is to, we plan to have the Veterans Memorial, Chocolate Town, Square Park, the vast majority of it in the Veterans Memorial, done by Memorial Day 2024, so that we can all be there for that celebration, opening it the first day. I think that's highly significant. And Mr. Chrisman, do you just want to touch on just next steps, so that what people can expect in terms of, Randy, you can sit down, thank you, but in terms of next steps, what it looks like for us?
Certainly. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to echo some of the comments that have already been said, just a big thank you to Chris Brown. You know, your vision on what this will look like for the future is just fantastic. And I want to thank the board for really taking a strong position on wanting to get the memorials reestablished and putting this right in downtown. I think it's a fantastic location for it. But as far as next steps go, I'm hoping to have before you at your next meeting the appointment of a construction manager. I'm waiting on a proposal from Capital Construction Management. They're looking forward to becoming part of this project as well, so we'll be bringing that before you. And the benefit of having a construction manager assist with a project like this is that it can help guide the timelines, the construction, the budget, the permitting, what plans need to be developed. Obviously, the township staff will be involved with our community development office. You know, Zach Jackson and his team with Parks and Rec, you know, having some input on what goes on in the park. You know, what you're seeing is a concept sketch. Now we have to boil this down into an actual set of plans that can be developed, that can be approved by the board, that can go out for outside agency approval if it needs it. Probably going to be a bunch of different permits that are required. So all of those things will take place in the next couple of months, you know, as we start to move forward and get into high gear. Additionally, we want to be sensitive to the remaining schedule for 2023 that have what's going on in the park. So as we develop a construction timeline, we're able to kind of dovetail those two things together so that it's sequenced in a way that makes sense for the things that are still going on downtown, as well as trying to look forward in the future to the development of. So at this point, your next step really will be coming in 2 weeks when we look at the appointment of the construction manager, and then we'll move on to those other big items as that person comes on board and begins to help provide some guidance to us.
Great. Great. All good news. All right. That will conclude this item. Thank you, everyone, for coming. I'm going to give you your 30 seconds to, if you can choose to stay for the rest of the meeting, or you can leave next time. Thank you, everybody. We appreciate it. I should have kept everybody here for your presentation.
It's quite all right. I'm not
accepting. So we'll move to item B on the agenda, which is the update on fiscal year 2023 budget, first quarter results. We'll turn it over to Mr. Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before I get started, just to kind of refresh ourselves of what we're doing. You know, back when COVID, you know, really prevalent, we were really really stressed, you know, our budget took significant pressure. The board, you know, rightfully said, hey, can you provide some updates on a regular basis with respect to how the township's finances are doing? And in doing so, each year we try to present you a quarterly update of where our numbers are. I think it's helpful for the public, it's certainly helpful for the board, but not a lot of people who aren't familiar with our budgeting process. I kind of wanted to start out this presentation just kind of talk real quickly about the overview of the township's budgeting process. A quick review of the township fourth quarter results. That's one slide, talk about our general fund, and then go right into the first quarter of 2023. So for anyone that's not familiar with how budgets operate in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, in particular for second-class townships like Derry Township, Section 3205 of the second-class township code sets forth the parameters of how a municipal budget is structured, how taxes are levied, and that's the same for any second-class township throughout this Commonwealth. We're no different than anyone else, but you know, we have different sets of circumstances that drive our numbers. So in our 2023 budget, much like 2022, we have a series of 11 funds, 8 of which are operating. You'll see them here from the general fund all the way down to our operating reserve fund. And then we have 3 capital funds. That includes the capital reserve fund, the community center reserve fund, and 32 our road equipment. In 2022, it's kind of hard to see here, but our ending results in the general fund, just to kind of reiterate, the general fund for us serves as kind of the major landing pad for all of the township's finances. A lot of the revenue that's generated in the township comes through the general fund and then is transferred out to the different funds respectively. And at the end of the year, you can see that revenues came in above budget at 108% of total budget, which is great. But on the converse side for expenses, the township finished the year at 76%, which, you know, may sound kind of odd, but it's actually a really good thing. It takes account all of the things that our department managers put in place in their budget requests to the board each year. We take a look at those as we're going through the fiscal year. Sometimes a department manager may determine that this isn't the right time to pull the trigger on a certain project, certain allocation, or you certainly may not have grant funding that might have been allocated to a project given in that certain year, so that project gets moved out into a different year. So at the end of the day, we only expended 76% of our total budget last year. Now, these numbers also don't include any adjusting entries for the audit. 2022 year. So when that happens, you know, these numbers will shift slightly when the audit's complete. But for the most part, this is sort of the financial picture that you want to see at the end of each year. You'd like to see revenues end the year higher than what you've anticipated, and you want to see expenses be lower than what you've anticipated. So both of those things have occurred in 2022. I'm happy to report that. In 2023, just a quick snapshot, this is a summary of your operating budget. So you can see that in 2022, we adopted a budget on the revenue side of $27.1 million. Similarly, in 2023, $27.1 million went down just so ever so slightly. You know, those are some fluctuations in revenues over the year, but for the most part, as you can see, they're very consistent. 85% of our general fund revenue comes from real estate property taxes and Act 511 taxes, and those are the taxes that are most sensitive to economic conditions in your municipality. So you look at real estate transfer taxes, earned income, local services, occupation, amusement, and parking. When you look at real estate taxes, that's usually the one area of the budget that most residents put a lot of scrutiny on. And I think this graphic representation kind of really distills down rather quickly how much of the tax dollar, the tax burden, if you will, comes to Derry Township. When you look at the largest piece of the pie, it's the Derry Township School District, making up 67% of that total dollar collected, Dauphin County at 24%. And then Derry Township at 9%. So for the township taxpayer that's paying the 2.5381 mils to Derry Township, you're getting a lot of service for that, what I would consider a small amount of money out of your tax bill each year. You know, you have a police department that provides services 24/7, a volunteer fire company, parks, a library, community development, you have public works that maintains your roads, paving, plowing, It's a lot of service for an amount of money that I think we use every dollar expended. We're not just collecting money for the sake of collecting it. We are good stewards of taxpayer money, and I think this graphic represents that very well. So as you go through each fiscal year, obviously in the first quarter, you would like your revenues to be trending 25% or higher. You would like your expense load to be trending 25% or lower, preferably lower. As of right now, at the end of the first quarter, our 2023 levels are very similar to where we were a year ago. When you look at the revenues, much like that last slide I showed, this is now looking at the first quarter at the end of March. Total revenue through the door right now is at 20%. It's a little lower than where I'd like it to be. We'd like it to be a little bit higher, but some of that's driven by when a revenue is derived and comes into the township. Set like LST is collected at certain times of the year. Occupation tax is collected at certain times of the year. The second quarter will fare out a lot of those numbers, and you'll see that should shift in a more favorable direction. But right now, the expense load of the township is at 15% of budget. I'm okay with that. We're still running we're trending wherever we were in December. We're trending the same way we are in March. One of the points that I mentioned earlier was the Act 511 taxes. So when we talk about real estate transfer tax all the way down through the parking tax, and it's kind of hard to see on the screen, but these are the ones that are most sensitive to changes in the economy, people's ability to purchase property, pay bills, pay taxes, that earned income. Dairy Township, we've been very fortunate even throughout the height of the pandemic. We made some really tough decisions internally, how to manage services, reducing our expense load so that we're mirroring kind of the same situations that taxpayers are facing in their own lives, where maybe they have reduced income because of COVID. But the point I'm trying to drive at is that our numbers are not really askew at this point at the end of the first quarter. They are performing where they need to be. Our amusement tax and parking lot revenue, that is all cyclical, and it's based on the timing of when those funds are distributed to the township. Right now, we're not seeing a whole lot of activity in the park, so those numbers are certainly low. What I can say is that those numbers have performed very well as the economy is coming out of COVID-19. People are anxious to get back to a normal way of living. They're anxious to get back to the park, enjoy all of the amenities that we have here in Dairy Township. They're spending money here, all of which is a great thing. Happy to report, and I think we did discuss this last year, but if you look at the top of the slide, the pilot payment, that includes the Hershey Medical Center as well as the pilot for the Giant Center. HENR made it very clear to us last year that they had really good receipts and returns for their business, so they were able to provide a full pilot payment last year that was unanticipated in that budget. So that worked out really well for us. We budgeted zero. We ended up getting our pilot. That's fantastic. This year's budget does anticipate receiving that pilot at this point. I have no reason to believe that they're going to have a lesser season than they did a year ago. I would anticipate that that pilot will come in on time, and it's being paid in the current year versus in years past it will be paid 1 year behind. So that's all good news. It's all good news for the township. Those revenues continue to flow. On the expense side of the house, if you can see here, our budget in 2022 was adopted at $22.4 million. This year's budget was adopted at $23.8 million. It's a slight increase at 6.2%. That covers everything across the board. That includes any changes in personnel costs, healthcare changes. Just like you in your private life, it costs the township money to turn on the lights every day. All of those things are anticipated in this budget. We're not immune to changes in the marketplace with respect to electrical generation, purchase of fuel. Yes, we do big quantities and we get better rates, but they're still elevated from where they were a year or so ago. This is a graphic representation of that chart I just showed. So you can see that the large drivers in our budget and on the expense side are police services and interfund transfers. I mentioned at the outset that the general fund serves as the landing pad for a lot of the revenue that comes into the township. From there, We determine where funds should flow to the other funds, including debt service, the community center, the library. All of those areas of the budget, they will flow through the interfund transfer categories within the DOT. Again, this is just kind of reiterating what I showed earlier. We're at 15% total exposure right now with monies expended on the expense side. Good, pretty happy with that. So some final thoughts I have on this year's budget. Let's remember not to forget about COVID-19. Everybody's getting very comfortable about where we are. I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm hoping that we have COVID in the rearview mirror. But I just wanted to remind everyone to stay vigilant. Those types of things could affect our budget if we have massive closures again. People have to stay home. Global instability, similar. You know, there are factors outside of our own control here in Darien Township that may affect our ability to buy goods and to provide service. On the brighter side, our housing market continues to be very robust here. People like to live in Darien Township. We have not seen really a dip in housing and home prices here in Darien. It's great. Inflation is a problem nationwide. It's not just limited to Darien Township. But again, those are things that the cost of buying goods, as they go and as they inflate, that affects people's abilities to make tougher decisions on things in their own lives. And we hope that not paying their taxes is one of them. But our numbers don't bear that out. They have been paying. Just to kind of touch on what we did last year, the board is aware we made some transitions by closing the tax association and moved the collection of real estate taxes to Dauphin County and Keystone Collections for our LST and occupation taxes. And also already manages EIT collections. At this point, our numbers are very strong. We've had some small hiccups across the process of transitioning folks from collection of the tax association to Keystone. But by and large, you know, I think with the change, the net savings of $400,000 to be good for both the township and the school district has been a positive thing. The cash flow from Dauphin County right now for the real estate tax collection and through Keystone, honestly, has been very smooth, very continuous. You know, every 2 weeks we are seeing a deposit come into the township. All of those things from a cash management standpoint is exactly what we wanted to be. Our strategy will continue to be the same. We will always monitor our revenues and expenses. We close the gaps with targeted cuts across the budget. We saw that at the end of 2022 when we showed that we were at 76% of budget. We continue to evaluate debt service restructuring opportunities as they come out. And again, I continue to preach to stay the course. Focus on building your long-term savings in the operating reserve and sticking to core conservative budgeting principles we've been doing. I'm happy to report that at this point, the operating reserve to date has about $3.8 million in it. That's great. It does not include any of your general fund operating dollars that we have in excess of fund balance. So as time goes on, our plan is to continue to put money into reserves so that you're truly building a rainy day fund for the township. In the event there's a problem, if there's another tropical storm Lee that comes through, we have the resources to then deal with problems in our community, deal with problems for the township, and so far so good, I would say. And I'll open the floor to the board. If you have questions, I can try to answer them. But lastly, again, I'm just going to plug the department managers. They do a great job day in and day out. Managing their budgets and their personnel, and they make my job a lot easier by doing what they do. So thank you.
Questions for Chris on the budget update?
Yeah. There's one item that I wanted to note in here that I think that we've talked about at prior meetings, but one of the changes that you encouraged the township to make was moving the accounts over to an interest-bearing account. And you noticed on the general fund revenue that we are making interest on our money now.
Yes.
And that interest is probably pretty significant this year on what we have. So I just wanted to point that out, that went from almost nothing to a significant number that we can push into our reserves or push into the community center fund to save for the future.
Absolutely. No, thank you. And that, you know, that in consultation with the board, you know, you agreed with that philosophy of trying to make that move. You know, it certainly made sense by moving all of our funds to Pliget. They are, you know, in essence, a credit union for municipal government. And so they're offering you the best of all worlds combined. And you're generating interest income where we weren't before, and we had fees for certain things that we no longer have fees for. So all of those things combined will paint a better picture for the Attachie Financial Union.
Well, all of those small things, you know, add up, you know, and help us keep the burden off the taxpayers. So just wanted to point that out.
Thank you.
All right, any other questions for Chris? If not, Chris, thank you very much for that update. And it's obviously, that's a very positive update. And we're actually, I don't think any of us are even surprised by the update. I think we've gotten this down as a group pretty well. And I think the whole crew, everybody in here, the department heads, and you know, I think we're all on the same page, which is just a beautiful place. So thank you for your hard work, collectively, everyone. Thank you. That'll take us to the next item on the agenda. This is item C. It's the discussion on the proposed new national opioid settlement agreements with Teva, Allergan, CVS, Walgreens, and Walmart. And I'm going to turn this over to our solicitor this evening to kind of walk us through this.
Yes. So I'm Mitchell Bielerin here on behalf of Pat Armstrong, ISTED. So previously, the board had approved a settlement agreement, similar settlement agreements with other defendants. This is a new set of defendants, as mentioned today by Allergan, CVS, Walgreens, and Walmart. And these are specific to those defendants in these pharmacies and pharmaceutical manufacturers. We've received the forms to participate in these new pharmacy settlement agreements for municipalities in Dauphin County. So the township is being asked, since you are eligible, Dauphin County is eligible to participate in those settlement agreements, and only the Board of Supervisors can authorize the execution of the settlement agreements and participation forms. The recommendation would be to participate in those. There's no guarantee that any money will be received, but in order to participate, get potentially receive money and to participate in the settlement agreement. And as more municipalities participate, the percentage needs to reach a certain threshold for the defendants not to back out. Because if the threshold is not met, they can back out, and that will eliminate the ability to receive those funds that they settled on. The deadline to submit these forms is April 18th of 2023. And if there are any questions, you know, if not, it would be appropriate right now to consider a motion for the township to authorize and agree and opt in and execute the proposed settlement participation forms for the settlement agreements with, as mentioned, Teva, Allergan, CVS, Walgreens and Walmart, and approve and authorize the execution of any and all documents and agreements related in order to participate in these new national opioid settlement agreements with those defendants.
Actually, I do have a question.
Sure.
I don't have a problem with this. And we approved one last year. Is there any follow-up from, say, last year's approval? What was received and where the money was spent?
I don't believe that we have information on that. Whether I wouldn't necessarily expect anything to be received in the first 12 months, because there is, it is also structured so that the payments are done over time.
Right.
But I don't think, Chris, that we have any received anything.
At this point, we've not received any grant funding through the settlement process. The first game. It's not to say that there won't be money coming. I just don't know. It's not a process that we're connected to by the class action process, but we're not involved in the day-to-day.
Well, how does that work? How does that work? It flew over my head the last time we did. We're joining this suit. We're going to get some cash out of this. Or is that...
There's no guarantee.
Oh, no, there's, you're right. There's no guarantee. Right. Right. How does that money flow?
So, I mean, the money would go into the Commonwealth and to the county, and it's all... It has to... It can't just be used for the general fund and used to prevent anything.
Right, just to understand.
Yeah, used towards, doing the opioid crisis, drug and alcohol programs, and so forth. How that actually, like you say, nobody's backed out right. as far as those prior defendants, so it's still proceeding at this time with those settlements.
Didn't we have applicants last time?
That wasn't a few meetings ago.
And that was through Dauphin County, through the opioid process. You know, they have a grant, opioid grant, so... Yes, so there were applicants to that program. I don't know what stands at this point, because they would manage that program, not so much us. They were just seeking sponsorship from the township as an applicant, and we agreed to sponsor those applicants. That's as far as I can.
No, I guess I'm just kind of looking for accountability. Where does the money go? If it's received, where does it go, and how is it spent? Sort of. Make sure that that money's going to where it's supposed to be going.
Right, and I don't think there's anything in the sea, so there's nothing right now. No. As far as the township is concerned.
Is there a mechanism out there where we can find this out or have information on this down the road? Do you know?
We can follow up and see what's out there. But right now, like I say, as far as if anything was received, we would have obviously known about it. So... As far as the townships.
Yeah, I think we're lucky because we've been asked to sponsor other things before, and there's not always a lot of information that goes with it. And I think we need to start asking questions about how is, in this case, if there's money, how it's received, how it's spent. So thank you for answering the question. No. Sorry to drag.
No, that's fine. Are there any other questions? Or?
All right, thank you very much. And there's no motion needed for this.
No, there's no motion. The board needs to approve the participation and participate in the settlement.
Okay.
Well, I'm happy to make a motion that Derry Township authorizes to that Derry Township authorize and agree to opt in and execute proposed settlement participation forms for the settlement agreement with Teva, Allergan, CVS, Walgreens, and Walmart, and further approve and authorize the execution of any and all other documents and or agreements related thereto in order to participate in the new national opioid settlement agreements associated with the above referenced participating defendants.
I'll second that.
Right, motion made by Mrs. Nutt, seconded by Mr. Zaluda. Any questions or discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. We'll move on to the next item on the agenda, which is item D. It's the proclamation proclaiming April 28th, 2023, the observance for Arbor Day in Derry Township. Mr. Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is part of the criteria that the township needs to complete annually in order to apply for tree city status with the National Arbor Day Foundation. For 31 years, we've applied for that and have been successful in obtaining that status, primarily because of the board, as well as staff's commitment to preserving and increasing our forest in the township. So we're recommending adoption of this proclamation, which would be Friday, April 28th. It's historically the last Friday of April is Arbor Day. And along this same line, the weekend of the 22nd, there will be volunteers planting approximately 20 street trees throughout the township, primarily in the village. 22nd is, of course, Earth Day. So the two sort of mesh together. So we are suggesting that the board approve the proclamation for the last Friday, the 28th, being Arbor Day.
Very good. That's fairly self-explanatory. I don't know if there are any questions for Mr. Clark. If not, we'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion, Mr. Chair, that this board proclaim that last Friday in April 28th, 2023, the official day for observance of Arbor Day in the township.
Right. Motion made
by Mr. Zimuda. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion is seconded by Mr. Corrado. Any questions or discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion is approved unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Clark. The next item on the agenda is E, is the preliminary final subdivision plan of 208 Clark Road, plat 1368. Mr. Hagan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Plat 1368 represents the preliminary and final subdivision plan of 208 Clark Road. The plan represents the subdivision of an existing 0.6-acre lot owned by Wei Zhang, located along Clark Road. The property is located in the Hershey Mixed Use Zoning District and contains an existing single-family dwelling. The purpose of the subdivision is to create a new lot to contain a new single-family dwelling. Stormwater management will be contained on lot, and the applicant it will be required to pay a fee in lieu of dedication of land for park, recreation, and open space to the township. The following waivers and deferments have been requested from the land subdivision and land development ordinance as noted below: a deferment from the right-of-way dedication, a deferment from cartway widening, and a deferment from sidewalks. The plan commission and staff recommend that the following deferments listed be granted, subject to and conditional on the applicant agreeing to and executing a declaration of covenants in a manner and form acceptable to the township. Additionally, they are seeking waivers from providing plans and profiles for all existing stormwater, sewer, sanitary sewer, gas, and water systems at a scale of 1 inch equals 50 feet horizontally and 1 inch equals 5 feet vertically. Waiver from providing the location of all existing structures within 200 feet of the perimeter of the site. A waiver from providing topographic land contours within 200 feet of the property. And a waiver from requiring side lot lines to be perpendicular to the street. The Plan Commission and staff recommend that the waiver be, these waivers be granted. And then I recommend approval of plat 1368 conditionally upon items A through W as shown before being satisfactorily addressed. And then we also recommend that the waivers and deferments be granted as outlined in items A through G. Would you like me to go through the individual waivers and conditions?
No, I don't think that'll be necessary. I think we've all had an opportunity to review those. Unless there's any particular one you want to point out, Mr. Havig, I think they look fairly standard.
No, there's nothing specific to this one that would need to be reported.
All right, then let me just open it up. Are there any board members that have questions for Mr. Habig on this item? Hearing none, this item will require two motions, one on the waivers and deferments and one on the plan itself. So seeing as that is the case, do we have a motion from the board?
I will offer a motion that the waivers and deferments are granted from the subdivision and land development ordinance as noted in items A through G and the explanation given by Mr. Habig and on this agenda item for the preliminary final subdivision plan of 208 Clark Road, plat 1368.
All right, motion made by Mrs. Nutt on the waivers and deferments. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Zimuda. Any further discussion or any questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it, and the motion passes unanimously. Now the next item we need a motion on is the actual plan itself. Is there a motion? I'll go ahead and make a motion that the preliminary final subdivision plan of 208 Clark Road, plat 1368 is approved, subject to compliance with items A through W in the department head recommendation section of this agenda item. Is there a second to my motion?
Second.
Motion is seconded by Mr. Corrado. Is there any further questions or discussion on this item? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. This motion passes unanimously also. Thank you, Mr. Abick.
Thank you.
All right, the next item on our agenda is item F, and it is the consideration of executing an amendment to the agreement with Property Registration Champions LLC doing business as ProChamps to continue to register properties in accordance with revised Chapter 99 dealing with foreclosing mortgaged property and vacant property registration as part of the Code of the Township of Derry. Again, Mr. Abick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This item is a consideration of executing an amendment to the agreement with ProChamps to continue to register properties in accordance with revised Chapter 99, which deals with the foreclosing mortgage property and vacant property registration of the Code of the Township of Derry. This amendment has been reviewed and revised by Pat Armstrong, our solicitor, and we recommend that the amendment be approved and executed. And that concludes my report.
Any questions for Mr. Abick on this motion or on this item?
Mr. Abick, I noticed in the write-up that this doesn't cost the township any money to do this.
Nope.
Yeah, okay.
Just yes.
So I know that.
And the revenue helps with property maintenance compliance.
All right. Any other questions? If not, may I have a motion?
I'll offer a motion that the Board of Supervisors authorizes Manager Crispin to execute the agreement to execute the agreement, the amendment to the agreement between Derry Township and Property Registration Champions LLC doing business as ProChamps, renewing their services until March 23rd, 2024.
Very good. Motion made by Mrs. Nutt. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Motion is seconded by Mr. Zanuta. Any further questions? Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Abick. Next item on the agenda is Supervisor Board or Committee reports. So start with Mr. Zanuta. Any Supervisor Board or Committee report?
I have nothing, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Zanuta. Mr. Corrado.
Ditto. I have none.
Corrado has zero also. This is
none.
Okay. Mr. Whitecroft,
I have no report this evening.
And I also have no report this evening. Okay. Great sigh of relief come across the crowd. As we turn to the next item on the agenda, which is departmental reports, and we'll start with the Chief, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The only thing I would have for tonight is there was discussion with the Township Manager and our communications outreach team. Our drone unit is going to be taking photos and videos of the Walton Mill Road enclosure and the nearby project. Probably every week to 2 weeks, we'll snap some photos in there, aerial views. Give those to Becky Swiger. She can push those out via the e-news and so forth, so the residents, the board, everybody can kind of see the progress that is coming along there, and in hopes that that will soon be open, so we can kind of keep people updated. Our drone team is going to be uploading those photos and videos.
Thank you, Chief. I think that's a great idea. I know that the members of the board are very supportive of that, and I think it's important anytime. You know, this is Waltonville Road is sort of the biggest example we have right now in the township. The road has been closed for a long time, and everybody is anticipating its opening. And I would just suggest that anytime we have a road closure in the township, we should make sure we're pushing out that information as much as we can through all the different media vehicles that we have, just so that folks understand why a particular road is closed, right? I mean, it's going to take whatever time it takes to get it done. We understand that. But knowledge is power for everybody, and
So we appreciate everybody's efforts in this regard, and certainly on this issue with the drone footage.
And before we go on, Chief, would it be prudent to notify the trust that you're going to be doing this so they're not wondering what's flying over their heads?
I think we can probably do everything without flying over the property, actually.
Okay.
Thank you. But, yeah, we'll be in contact with them. Well, especially if there's a question on something that we're seeing in a photo, some kind of progress, reach out to the construction crews and say, hey, what is that that you're doing down there that looks like you're doing this? Is it stormwater or whatever? Is that the next step in getting this open back up? So just keep in contact with them. So I guess some of the advantages of reaching out to them.
Thank you. Do you think it might be necessary that we make sure that the colors of the United States flag or the Derry Township flag are on the drone so our government doesn't shoot it down, Chief?
We have all the necessary plans. We're good there. And then as far as the road closures, Township Manager Ms. Crispin has actually kind of spearheaded putting this communications outreach group together. And I think more consistent communication and outreach and messaging will be the result of that. So.
Good. Well, we thank everybody for that. Thank you. All right. Hershey Volunteer Fire Department, Mr. Sassman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple things tonight. It's been a busy week. Last week, the fire department was on 23 calls. Today or yesterday alone, we did 10. So it's been a busy couple weeks for us. Our numbers are also strong over the past month and a half. On an average Monday night, we've been averaging 35 members coming out for drills. So that is a significant number. It's a good problem to have, so to speak. Also, I'd like to introduce to you, I'll get some photos over to you, but we put in service a 2022 new utility vehicle that replaced two old vehicles, a 1994 and a 2004. Both of them were pickup trucks, so it now will be kind of dual functioning. So if you'd like to see it, also stop by any time, and I'll be happy to give you a tour if you'd like of the new truck. That's all I have for this evening.
Thank you, Dave.
Mr. Sassman.
Yes.
Quick question. I sent you an email earlier today about possible burn ban. Do you have any comments on that?
That'll be coming out. I talked with Officer Roach or Lieutenant Roach, and I'll probably come out tomorrow morning.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
All right, Mr. Clark, Public Works.
I don't have anything to add unless anyone has questions for me.
Are you ready to proclaim that we have made it past a particular season, Tom?
Yes, I am.
I feel good talking about it, too. All right, Allison, library.
That's what's happening. All right, Hershey Public Library patrons can actually replace their cards at the library through the end of April. We got two new beautiful designs for cards, and so if any of you have lost your cards or you need new cards, now is the time to get them. They're really stunning, and you'll be able to see them in the e-news because we're promoting those. And then on April 22nd at 2 p.m., we're welcoming New York Times bestselling author Kevin Wilson to the library. Tickets and event details can be found on the library's website.
Thank you, Allison. Parks and Rec, Zach Jackson.
Just reporting, we were able to sneak in our egg hunt on Saturday, April 1st. We had some questionable weather that morning, but we found a window, got it done. So we were able to unload the 10,000 eggs that we've been stockpiling over the last several months. So up next for us will be a fishing derby. That's Saturday, May 6th. And the stocking for that will be May 1st and 2nd to allow the fish to get acclimated for that event. So we will post the pond, no fishing for that week until the conclusion of the derby.
That's excellent. That's great. Another great event at Parks and Rec. Thank you. Thanks for the Easter egg hunt and thanks for the fishing derby.
Was there a count on how many eggs Chris picked up?
Oh, I didn't get a count on that.
My big back, right, Zach? I know the routine. All right. That will take us to Township Engineer, Mr. Stone.
Nothing to report tonight other than to note, as we discussed last meeting, that we are compiling some
information on some projects that we've completed, as well as items planned in the future, to give a brief update or presentation over to you at a future meeting, and also to get on the township's website.
And then I just, as a follow-up to the chief's presentation at the very beginning of the meeting, and Mrs. Nutt and I were kind of talking during part of the presentation. We listened to every word, but we were noting, I should say we were noting similarly, that some of those traffic calming measures might be things that we could employ in other areas of the township. So not just Church Road, we may want to consider that when it comes to the Transportation Committee meets. Maybe they consider, maybe we invest in a number of those items, and then Chief, we have them at your disposal to implement or deploy in other areas that we also know are tricky areas in the township. Right. Yeah. All right, community development, Mr. Habig.
Nothing to report. Unless anybody has questions.
We don't allow anyone to ask questions during this period.
Awesome.
All right, Township Manager, Mr. Crisper.
Nothing further this evening. Thank you.
All right, that'll conclude departmental reports. The next item is visitor public comment. Anyone wishing to come forward, this is the time. Again, name, first name, last name, address, and try to keep it to 3 minutes.
My name is Jonathan Christ, and I live at 2865 Church Road. And because of the item about Church Road, I decided to come tonight. I also wanted to share some information. While I live in Conewago Township, it is by a hair in Escoche. You can see the township line from my bedroom second floor window. I'm that close to the Derry Township line. I am basically the second house in Conewago coming up the hill from Conewago. For those of you who are not aware, Conewago is a mountain. It's got a 55% slope from my house down to the Giant food store. You come out of my house, you make a right turn. I don't have to put my foot on the accelerator, and I still go 35 miles an hour down the mountain. If you know, you lower, that's why I scoffed a bit when you said lower it to 20 miles an hour. I burned my brakes out coming down the mountain. You're talking about traffic calming measures. There is already a major traffic calming measure in effect that I don't think anybody quite realized. Back in 1997, I spearheaded a group of Church Road residents to see if we could get a stoplight at the corner of Church Road and Fishburne / 743. Because basically from 7:30 in the morning to 9 o'clock in the morning, and from 3 o'clock in the afternoon to 6 o'clock, you can't make a left turn out of Church Road. So what has happened is that all of the people who come down Church Road, myself included, don't use Church Road anymore past you make the turn off of McCorkle and come out. That's the only way you can see to get out. So you actually already have a traffic calming measure in effect for... Because the people who live there know you can't get out between 7:30 in the morning and 9 in the morning and 3 in the afternoon and 6. Again, by background, and I don't know if you were aware of this, but as part of response to the group back in 1997, that was what led to putting in the stoplight at Homestead. That was supposed to be a measure to break up the traffic so that the people at Church Road could get out. That was sold to us. It didn't work. That the light at Homestead is not signalized with the light at the Giant food store. And so it's a trip light at Homestead. So it doesn't stop the traffic. So it does virtually nothing. In fact, you ought to get your money back for that stoplight, because that was what it was sold as, helping Church Road. It's never done a thing. And you can't get out of Church Road in those time periods. The other point I would like to make, and this ties into the conditional use hearing that's going on. The group that I was involved with met with this board, or with the people who were on this board in the 90s, 97, 98, 99, into the, particularly Mark Moyer. We met with PennDOT. We met with John Payne, who told us there's nothing you can do. Church Road is too close to the stoplight at the Giant, at Fishburne and Coco there. It's 1,400 feet, and although it's more than a quarter mile, PennDOT wants a half a mile, and there's no way you're ever going to get a stoplight at Church Road. And we were told this repeatedly. So you can imagine my surprise when I subsequently found John Payne, who told me he couldn't do anything for me, pushing for Chuck Craig to put a stoplight in at relocated Sandhill Road, which is only 600 feet from the light at 322 in Fishburne at Mary Beth's place. We're 1,400 feet down to Church Road, and we can't get a stoplight. And to be honest with you, it's one of the reasons that I got involved with defending the people on Fishburne Road with the Sheets deal, was the fact that, you know, it seemed unfair. If we can't get a stoplight, why should they get one, you know, half a mile up the road? It's the same road. And so I just wanted to bring those information out. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Grayson. All right. Any other public comment? Seeing as there's no one else from the public present, we will wrap up our second visitor public comment session, which will end our business for the meeting. But we do need a motion for adjournment. So, is there a motion?
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
Motion made by Mr. Zavita. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Corrado. All in favor, please vote aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion is adjourned. Thank you. The meeting is adjourned.